Amen. Hebrews 11, as we continue through this amazing book and amazing chapter. I believe this is already our fourth sermon and we're up to verse 7. So it's going to be a little while. But we're up to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So, by faith will be our title tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we do ask for your wisdom, for your power, for your presence. We open your word together now and study it. We pray, Lord, you'd use it in our hearts and lives to grow us. Lord, we as the disciples ask that you would build our faith, Lord. And as we go through this chapter, that it would truly have an impact on our faith. And so may you get the glory in this service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this phrase, by faith, we see showing up a few times in this passage. But notice it says, being warned of God of things not seen. Remember, faith was defined for us in verse 1. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that phrase, not seen, shows up in the Bible a lot. And let's look at it real quick. Go to John chapter 20. And what it's telling us is that we are to walk by faith. We are to live by faith. The contrast is by living or walking by sight, which is what the Israelites tried to do. And of course, it didn't work, did it? Every time they ran into a trial, they complained and blamed God. And then would God work a miracle? And then they loved God and thought God was amazing. So as long as things were happening that they could see and experience, their faith was strong. But as soon as they were faced with the trial or temptation, no faith. Because it was all about what they saw and what they experienced. But we as Christians are told to walk and live by faith, which means, as it says here, things not seen. Notice John 20, verse 29. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. So Jesus pronounced this blessing there in the room there with the disciples on us. He said, blessed are those who've not seen. Well, we haven't seen Jesus with our physical eyes. They obviously had the privilege of doing that. We haven't. And Jesus says, blessed are those who've not seen and yet what? Believed. We've believed. We've not seen Jesus. We've believed by faith that the Word of God is true, that our Creator loved us enough to write His will down for us and put it in a book called the Bible, and by faith we believe that it's true, and we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior and so forth, but we've not seen Him. So look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. I just want us to see how often this phrase is in Scripture, this phrase not seen, and as we are told, Hebrews 11:1, the evidence of things not seen. Notice 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Just three more. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The only thing on this earth that's going to last forever are the souls of men and women, boys and girls, and of course, God's Word. Well, we can't see people's souls. All we see is the shell. Right? And God is saying that the things that are not seen are eternal. Heaven's eternal. We don't see it. Jesus is eternal. We don't see it. God's eternal. Our souls are eternal. All these things that we can't see with our physical eyes are eternal, and yet man lives for the things that we can see and touch, sadly. That's walking by sight. First Peter 1:8. Two more. The Bible tells us, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not. 1 Peter 1:8. Though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Whom having not seen, ye love. We all claim to love Jesus, but we've never seen him. That's called faith. So now we're getting a better understanding that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, if you go to Romans 1, the Bible says that even the unsaved understand these things in their conscience, but then each of us has a decision to make based on our free will, what we do with that. And sadly, most human beings go the wrong way and not seek after God, but instead run away from God. But notice Romans 1:19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Look at verse 20 of Romans 1. For the invisible things of him. So again, these are things that you can't see with the naked eye. God says that those invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So how can you clearly see something that's invisible? Because you can see it in your heart. You can see it in your conscience. You know it exists. You know there's a God. It says that being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Talking about people who choose to reject God, they are without excuse because God has put within their heart an innate knowledge that there is a God, and that the invisible things are seen through the conscience and the heart of man. So God says that the things that are not seen, the evidence of those things, that's faith. But also, as we talked a few weeks ago, faith is what we do. It's going forward, trusting God and believing that he's real and that he's really with us. And that's what, back in our passage, Hebrews 11:7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark. So by faith, Noah did something. He prepared an ark. Now, that's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Noah had to believe by faith that God was going to bring rain, which man had never seen at that point. So he went forward and built the ark anyway. Called faith. Putting feet to your faith, putting action to your faith. And that is the theme of Hebrews 11. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. 9, by faith he sojourned. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, he was tried, offered up Isaac. Verse 27, by faith he forsook. By faith, people did things. They went forward and said, God is real. God has called me to do this, and I'm going to do it. Even though I can't see God, I know God is with me. I know God is real, and I know God's going to help me because my God is all-powerful. So, how do we increase our faith? Go to Luke 17. Jesus actually answered this. Because the disciples came to Christ one day and they said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus' answer was not what people would expect it to be. Look at Luke 17:5. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Well, you know, the charismatics are always saying, oh, well, yeah, we had this healing meeting and the people that got healed had enough faith, and the people that didn't get healed didn't have enough faith. So it's all based on their faith. It's not based on the power of God, it's based on their faith. Which is a load of rubbish. When people healed in the New Testament, they healed everybody. You only had to have just enough faith to believe that God could do it. Even the man that said, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. God bless. But anyway, Look what Jesus said, verse 6. If ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So what is Jesus saying? This is the kind of faith everybody's after. Everybody wants faith that they can move the mountains. Mountain, go into the sea. Tree, pluck up by the roots and go flying into the sea. That's the kind of faith everybody wants. But then he goes on to say, verse 7, which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. That word trow means think. So Jesus says, if a man has a big farm and he has servants, and they're out working all day in the field and they come in, does he say, oh, you poor servants, sit down and let me feed you? No. It's the other way around. He says, make my dinner. I'm the master, you're the servant. Yeah, you've worked in the field all day. That's what I pay you for. Now make my dinner. And he goes on to say, will he every day when he comes in from the field say, oh, thank you so much for working in my field? No. When you go to work, does your boss thank you every day for coming in? Thank you so much for coming to work today. No, he's paying you to come to work. So he's not going to thank you every day for coming to work. And this master doesn't thank his servant every day for doing what he was hired to do. So what is Jesus trying to say? Verse 10, likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants, we've done that which was our duty to do. So Jesus is saying, if you want more faith, then get busy and serve God and do your duty. And even go beyond the duty. And that the way to grow your faith is to serve. Obey. Amazing. You would never expect that. We want it to be some amazing formula. So we can throw these trees around and throw mountains around. But instead Jesus says, do your duty. And your faith will grow. And you read about these people in Hebrews 11. And we read about, oh, they were supernatural. No, they were just like us. They just believed in a God that could do anything, and they went forward, and they did things by faith. So, by faith, they did things, even though they couldn't see the end result. They couldn't see God, they couldn't see heaven, but they did things anyway, and that's what God wants. But also, go back to our passage, verse 7, it says, and they became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So, what God is saying is not only does God want us to live and walk by faith, but we get saved by faith. And if you're here tonight and you're going to heaven, it's by faith. It's by faith that you trusted Jesus for your salvation. You trusted Jesus to save you from hell. That was faith. That you believed that Jesus died for you. You believed that he rose again. You believed that he has the power to save you. You have no physical evidence of any of those things. All you have is this book telling you it to be true. And so by faith, you heard the gospel and you believed it. And what did God do but give you righteousness in exchange for your faith? What a blessing. It's called imputation, where God gives us Christ's righteousness in exchange for him taking our sin. Let's look at a couple of verses. Romans 3:22. Where God gives us righteousness by faith. Because you can't go to heaven unless you're righteous. And yet nobody is. We've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. So how do we get into heaven? It takes God to supernaturally intervene and give us righteousness and declare us righteous so that we are able to go to heaven. Notice Romans 3:22, the Bible says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. The righteousness is given to those that believe. Look at Romans 4, 5. That to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So this righteousness is imputed to us by faith. Look down in verse 11 of chapter 4. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. There's the doctrine of imputation. It's where God imputes or puts on your account the righteousness of Jesus. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So God's telling us in this passage that by faith, we can't see God, we can't see heaven. But we're to live for God and we're to live for heaven. And we're to go forward by faith, even though we can't see these things, we believe them. We also get saved by faith and get righteousness by faith. Why is it by faith? Because, again, we have no physical evidence. I mean, we have historical evidence, obviously. But we can't say, here's Jesus. I know he's right here and I know he's with me. And I know he died for me and I know he rose again. Nobody can see him. But we believe he's real. We believe he created the universe. We believe he died for us. And God says, because you've placed faith in me, I'm going to give you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'd say that's a pretty good exchange. Praise God. Let's finish our passage, verse 8 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Look at James chapter 1. And we'll finish there tonight. But what God is trying to tell us is he wants us to, obviously, first of all, place our faith in Jesus that we might receive his righteousness. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he wants us to place our faith on Christ. But then he wants us, after we've done that and after we've received his righteousness, to now go forward and live by faith, which means get up and walk and do things by faith. It doesn't just mean sit and wait for the trumpet to blow. All these people in Hebrews did things by faith. Even though we can't see God or heaven, they did things. Notice James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally, and it abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But look at the next verse. But let him ask, what? In faith. Nothing wavering. In faith. So God says if we ask for wisdom, he'll give it. Well, that's good news because we sure need a lot of wisdom. But the condition that he puts on it is in faith. Because God says if we waver, if you read on, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind to toss. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Remember Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. So what he's saying is God's there, God has infinite wisdom, and if we ask, he'll give it. But if we ask not believing, then we won't get it. Faith. So we trusted and believed that God could save us from hell, but we often then, the devil tricks us into thinking, well, this trial's just too big, or this requires too much wisdom. That's just the devil lying to us. We need to ask in faith, believing, yes, my God knows everything. My God loves me. My God cares about me. He's listening, and he will answer my prayers, and he will protect me, and he will guide me. That's by faith. And so we'll take our time and just walk through and see all these people from the Old Testament and all the things that they did by faith. And God wants us to follow in their footsteps. Amen. Let's pray.